Episode treble 20, episode 20 tops, episode 2 treble 10s, episode 3 double 10s. It's episode 60, or Temble.
Yeah, who'd have thought we'd have got here? Episode 60, the highest number on a dartboard, Matt. We're here, and we have to kick it off with the biggest thank you ever. Thank you to our loyal fans, the loyal people that sent in the reasons why they like Mission, Matt. Over 200 comments so far and keeping going. It's fantastic. Thank you so much. It's exactly what we were looking for. We've read every single one and we're really, really appreciative. And as I said last week, I'll pick some people at random. Some people emailed, that'd be the audio listeners. Some people put it in the comments, that'd be the video listeners. I said I'd pick six at random. I have. So if you hear your name or handle now, drop me an email, youtube@missiondarts.com. I'm going to send you some goodies. Right. FlashFenton@AOL.com. Jason Milosinovich. Paul Phillips Paintwork. Jocelyn21MJ. Mojo Hammer 3484. And Martin Huburn 3788. If you recognize one of them, drop me an email, youtube@missiondarts.com, and I will send you some goodies, guys. Thank you so much.
It was great, wasn't it, to read the feedback? And do you know what? What was really interesting is when we sat down and we decided, you know, well, what is Mission? What do people think of the brand? And we guess. We try and work out what people think. And when we was doing that, our guesses, our assumptions are very, very similar to what other people think. There was a lot of things in there, wasn't it, about value and quality value. Yep. And there's a lot to be said for that. You know, we look at like high street supermarkets right now. How many people are going to those sort of supermarkets now that have traditionally seen as more of a budget supermarket, where actually when you go there, because you go, actually, Tesco's are fleecing me for a block of cheese. Let's go see what Aldi have got a price of cheese at. And you go in there, you go, do you know what, actually, this place ain't too bad. And you try the meals and things, and you go, well, these are different flavors, and they're good. It's quality. Let me do my shop here. And then once you do one weekly shop, and you go, whoa, hold on a minute, I've just saved 100%. Like,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, you're right. It's the affordable thing definitely came in, and it came to the fore this week on the launch, Matt. I know you're away at Pro Tour. I was doing it on TikTok. 10 new darts, of which the most expensive was 57 quid. You know, I mean, that's not what we're seeing in the darts world. We've got potentially the best board in the world coming out in October, 67 quid. So Mission are going, look, we're going to make the best that we can here. We're going to make stuff that you want. Oh, I ain't fleecing you for it. We're going to make it as affordable as possible. We remember what darts is. And if we keep on that footing, then I think there's a big, big future.
Do I get to have a say in what I think Mission is as well?
Absolutely.
Go on, I'm going to do it. I think Mission is a brand for the common dart player. For that exact reason. You're not going to buy a set of darts at 57 quid to put in a glass cabinet. You're going to throw. Look at the places Mission traditionally sponsor. We sponsor young players that are starting out their journeys. You know, we had Josh Rock when he has picked up a card. We've got the likes of Cam Crabtree. We had Vessel Nyman. You know, we pick up that sort of player. The places in which we sponsor, counties, super leagues, where the good sort of player on the sort of the common player circuit will sort of play. So we support that. And we've got a pathway for the ambitious amateur. The player that does well at county, that wants to go a little bit further with the sponsorship deals that we've got in place with the type of player that we are sponsoring right now. So I think everything, actually, from the players we sponsor to the organisations we help and support, like the UKDA, I think it all ties in with Mission is for the dart throwers, for those people that go out three times a week to play the darts in the local league, super leagues, counties.
Yeah. It's darts for dart players, isn't it? I love it. Yeah, no, fantastic. So thanks, guys, for all that again. Really, really appreciate it. And I'll send those goodies off to those people. Talking of Mission, obviously, as it's the Mission Darts podcast, you've been at the Pro Tour. We've had a winner, Matt. We've had a winner this week. Vessel Nyman yesterday. So I want your insight. I mean, you've seen all the games, obviously. You've been on commentary for 3 days. How good was he?
It was exceptional. Not many people dismantle Ryan Searle the way he did in the semi-final. It was unbelievable. He goes up against Ryan Searle in the semi-final. You think this could be the game where he goes out and he beat him 7-2.
Well, Ryan had just won, hadn't he, the day before or 2 days? Yeah.
2 days before. Ryan won day one. Ryan won Tuesday. Vessel won on Thursday. So, yeah, Ryan in form. And he was playing really well. So that was a big, big win. I don't really think at any point of the day he looked in trouble, Nyman, in that run. The final, I mean, I got to call the final. It was unbelievable. And do you know what, right? I really wish I sold this a little bit more at the time. But at the time, it's live. It's very, you know, you've got to try and get your words in really quick. And I was teeing it up for the shot. And earlier in the match, he wanted 180. He went treble 20, treble 20, move over to the 12s, try and get the treble 12, to avoid catching the flight and busting the 180.
Okay.
And then in the final leg, he's got six darts. He wants 170. He goes treble 20, treble 20, big 18. Doesn't even entertain the idea of the bullseye. And that, for me, gives us an insight into Vessel Nyman. He does not care about being a headline act other than I've won the tournament. This is the final. He's got three-leg cushion against Damon Hetter. He's battering him. Damon Hetter's just clinging on where he can. This is all about Vessel. And he's in that moment, and he just goes, no, I'm not interested in the headline saying Vessel Nyman wins with a 170 finish. Vessel Nyman wins Pro Tour title with 170 finish. He doesn't care about that. He wants Vessel Nyman wins event two times this year. Vessel Nyman wins three Pro Tour titles. Vessel Nyman did four Pro titles. Yeah. What we saw in that moment, he's not a me who thinks of the side story. He's not a Damon Hetter, a Scott Williams, people that maybe think of darts in other ways as not just about that. Vessel Nyman wants one thing, and that's winner. Vessel Nyman's proven this weekend, or this week, I still say weekend after all this time, Vessel has proven he is a winner, and nothing else matters to him but winning.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, yeah. Beating a top 10 player in the world there in the final, like you say, beat Ryan in the semis, who just won one. Is it a coming of age? Look, we've spoken about him a lot on the pod as an up-and-coming player for Mission. I've just looked, and we'll get onto the Grand Prix later, obviously, because by the time this comes out, it'll be tomorrow. The Grand Prix will be tomorrow. There's probably people actually listening now going, how come they're talking about the Pro Tour? I thought they recorded this on a Tuesday. Yeah, we're recording this on a Friday this week because we wanted to get Matt's insight onto what's gone on. But I've just looked at the Grand Prix draw. He's got Rob Cross. I think he's 8 in the world, maybe 7.
Good draw.
Vessel Nyman's favourite to win that game.
Rob Cross not been in the greatest of form, pulled out the Pro Tour on the final day. Yeah, I make Vessel favourite. In fact, I did this podcast probably out. So I did the PDC's podcast this week, and part of that was to sit down and preview the World Grand Prix. That's when I realised this is a very hard tournament to call. Mm. Every little section. I mean, section three is ridiculous, but I actually got Vessel down to win his section. I think when you say, "Is this a coming of age?" No, it's not. We can overestimate things, we can over-egg things, but we've got to grade things as they are. A Pro Tour is a, let's call it a C grade. So if we're going to grade things A, B, C, Pro Tour C, European Tours B, then A. We could even call it a D, because we could say D there, European Tour is a C, a B is like a World Series, and an A is your big ranking events. Yeah. So we could even grade it a D, if we're going to. He's won these before. This isn't a coming of age. This is what we expect. This is who we know we've got. Have we got him on the European Tour? He's reached semi-finals. Until recently, had won the most matches of anybody on the European Tour this year. So we know he can do that level. B, he's not had the opportunity yet at the World Series. A, he's had the chances on the big stage. Hasn't happened. Lost to Joe Cullen in the first round of the World Championship. Didn't work for him at the match play. So, is this a coming of age? We'll find out next week. That's where I go with this, because he's stepping up that ladder, he's working his way up, and we know he can master those levels. Now, can he do that? I think the answer is yes, but he hasn't done it yet. So it kind of is irrelevant of our opinions, because the facts say, as of right now, no. But is there enough information in there to think that's going to change? I think there is. Is double start, double finish the tournament for him? Changes a lot, doesn't it? And he's got a tough draw against Rob Cross, who, remember, Rob Cross last year was in the same situation. He played Luke Littler in the first round of the World Grand Prix. Luke Littler went in the favourite. Rob Cross beat him in the opening round. So it's an interesting story.
Can you remind me what the first round, how many legs it is?
It's first to two sets.
Okay, so first to three legs in a set, first to two sets, which is basically first to six legs, isn't it? It's like the same thing, but different in a way. Okay. I think that really does leave it open to lots of shocks, which we do see in the Grand Prix. Lots of shocks with it being that to me is quite short format. Yeah, you just got to get off, haven't you? You've got to get off. You've got to start the legs well.
I mean, this is the beauty of things right now. This podcast is probably going to be stacked. I've not got any notes in front of me. What I have done is I've just covered the European Tour in Prague. I've just covered three Pro Tours. So I am full, because I have to do all my research for those events. So you could literally fire anything at me. Look what I'm reeling off here. I'm reeling off all these bits. You know, this is going to be the most stacked with darts knowledge going, because it's all refreshed in my mind again, because I've just had to do it. I've been doing podcasts,
talks. Let's stay on the Grand Prix. We've started talking about it. Let's stay on it. There's a very good question come in about the Grand Prix, which I'm going to follow. I'm the same. I've got loads and loads here. Oh, yeah. So I like this one. It's a bit of fun. Ivan Fletcher, regular on the channel. Question for you both. Who will be the first player in the Grand Prix to forget to throw at a double? There's always one, isn't there? Wasn't it Pikachu last year?
I'm going to go Damon Hetter.
I'm going to go Chizzy. So I already had it there in my head.
Oh, well, that would be really impressive. Right, so I tell you what, right? Shall we have a little wager on this? Make it fun.
No, because now I know you're tricking me.
No, we'll have a bit of wager.
He's not in it.
We'll have a bit.
He's not in it, is he? He's not in it, is he? You see, you'd have got me with that 12 months ago, but I knew as soon as your voice changed then that I'd picked something wrong. I knew it. I thought, oh, maybe he hasn't qualified, right? He hasn't qualified.
Oh, here's one for you, right? So I was playing a game on PDC's podcast with Jamie Caven, and it's called Round, Round, Round. And what you have to do is Dan Dawson will sit there and he will give you like the run of a player. He'll go, right, this player beat this person in the first round, but then lost to this person. Who are we talking about? Right. And I did mine and I went, oh, that's Mervyn King. And he goes, no, it's wrong. So Jamie Caven gets to have a free guess. I went, oh, as if it's Chizzy, isn't it? And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, it's Chizzy. It wasn't. I was like, yes. Just baited him in. I'm like, as if it's Chizzy. Like, how did I get that wrong? He's like, ah, Chizzy.
Okay. So in which case then, it's time for me to put Edgar on the spot, because I've got two Grand Prix quiz questions for you. How many times did Phil Taylor win the Grand Prix?
7.
11.
11?
11 times he won the Grand Prix. You can Wikipedia.
Oh, no. Yes, no, no, you're right. And I can add more to that. So you're right, it is 11. I don't know why it's 7, probably because it rhymes. To add more to that, Phil Taylor only reached the final 11 times as well. He never lost a final.
Yes, never lost. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And my other one is, in 2015, there was the highest losing average, which was Michael van Gerwen with 97. Who did he lose to?
Oh, Christ. God knows on that one. What sort of question? The Lewis.
It's a difficult one. It's like the questions that Matt asks Andy every week.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to throw some back at you again with no.
Are you taking a random guess or not? Are you taking a random guess?
When was it? 2015?
2015.
Taylor.
Thornton.
Right. Okay. Here we go then. Let's give you some.
Yeah, see, you're going to get your own back now, aren't you? I know it.
Yeah, but I don't the research like you have. I've just got to go with this. What was the highest ever average in the World Grand Prix?
It's 102 or 103.
No, it's 106. Who hit it?
MVG.
Alan Warriner.
No, that's not right.
Yes, it is.
It's not. I've just been looking at it. It's not.
Well, you've been looking at it wrong. It's 106. Alan Warriner, 2001 against Andy Jenkins in the opening round. Have a look.
Oh,
again.
Sorry. Sorry. Apologies. I thought you said in the final. Sorry. I'd looked at the highest winning average in the tournament. Oh, right. Yeah. I looked at the highest winning averages in the final, and it was MVG and Taylor was second. There's highest very few.
Highest running tournament average was 99, no. I believe. Michael van Gerwen.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think when I looked at it, I think Van Gerwen's won it something like either six or seven times. We forget how dominant he was for those years.
Here's one for you then. This is a great question. How many venues has the World Grand Prix been played in?
Is it still in Dublin?
It's not been in Dublin for years.
Where is it now?
Leicester.
I don't even remember where it was. But I mean, I'd guess like four or something, but I wouldn't.
Most
know.
People would guess four because you've got like Leicester, Dublin, the old venues they used to play it in, Rochester. But it's actually five because in COVID, they played one at the Rico Arena in COVID time in Coventry.
Ah, with no fans.
Yeah. Got no fans.
Right then, right. Well, as you're trying to get me, somebody here. Oh, why is my phone fall now? It does that every now and again. Right, it's back in. There's a quiz question that somebody's come up with, and it's for both of us. Oh God, it's on here somewhere. Here we go. So big thank you to Volters Melderis, who sent an email saying, game suggestion to give Andy a chance, because he knows how bad I am. And it is, you need to play a game by alternating Mission Pro players.
Okay.
You start.
Nyman.
Matthew Edgar.
Lukeman.
Ryan Joyce.
Richie Edhouse.
Tavis Dudney.
Are we going signed players or just Pro Tour players?
Players whose darts that we have. Players okay. That have darts.
James Horrell.
Archie Self.
Do you know what? That was the one I was actually going to... on the last one, but I thought I won't go with it. And you've probably done that because he's been in the recent product launch.
You've gone now, haven't you?
Oscar yeah. Lukasiak.
Oh, that's a good one. Mike Dedeker.
How did we leave that so long?
I don't know. How did we leave him so long? Like top 20 in the world. Yeah, see, I thought I'd win at this one.
No, I'll get it. I'll get one. I've seen quite a few mission badges as well, so I should really be on this. I'm trying to think of his name, so I'm trying to go for an obscure one, and I know there's one, I can't think what his name is, and I should know it because we've mentioned him a few times. I can't get it. There's like a Japanese player we've got.
No, the Chinese player. You think? Yeah. We don't have him anymore. We don't have.
Oh,
him
okay.
Anymore.
Right, okay, so
you could have said some of the young lads, Jack
Tweddle. Okay, I'll go with Darrell Fitton.
Okay, yeah, Jack Tweddle. I can play this game all day. I've still got about another five.
So yeah, because you've probably got them written down.
Yeah, you've gone a little bit blurred there, Matt, for some reason. I think the audio listeners won't be bothered, but you. Oh, okay, you're back in focus again. Okay. Yeah, no, I've just done the launch, haven't I? So I was, there's the Lex. Can you pronounce Lex's surname?
No, I've never even tried
Lex
it.
I can't do it.
Good player.
There was plenty. There was Dennis Nielsen. There was plenty more we could have done there. I knew that. Thank you for that. Whoever sent that in, because I finally got a game that I could win. Right. So back to Pro Tour, Matt. You've had 3 days of it. How many nine darters were there?
There was three on the first three? Day. One I called Josh Rocks on the second day. Who did he hit against? He was behind 3-1. And he hit it in a turnaround. I think it was against Wesley Plaisier. It's hard because, like, you call about 30 matches a day. Like, you kind of forget who they did what against.
Yeah, you didn't call the three on the first day then. They were
didn't
on.
See any of them. Yeah, any of those. And, yeah, so that was good. Plenty
didn't
of nine
Vessel miss double 12 in the final?
Yes.
On yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. And it didn't faze him, did it? He just took out the double six. Thanks very much.
No, double three. Missed double six, hit double three.
Double three.
And the reason I remember that is because when we did that, I heard the director in my ear go, seen these missed before. And then he hit it and he went, oh, that's class. He's got control now. You know, so, yeah. That was good.
No, but... Anything exciting happen? Any late nights? Any dancing in the streets? Any bit of pro tour insight you can tell the viewers? Because love this. They'd all love to be you.
I'll give you a few minutes of some stories and things. I always say, I'll give you some. I won't give you things that like. Are too in-depth because I think that abuses his position a little bit. But I'll give you some. Right, let's start with day one. Ryan Searle wins the tournament. As we know, Ryan's a good friend of mine. So after the tournament, I've left commentary. He's left that. We've walked back. We go, right, let's go out for some dinner. We get to the room, change our clothes, straight out for dinner. We've gone to a fried chicken shop. Ryan's put his order in. Ryan puts his order in the machine and he goes, 12 quid? Right. He's just won 15 grand. You think I'm bad? He's complaining at spending £12 on a meal after winning 15,000 quid. He's complaining about 12
quid. I hope he bought yours.
Well, the story develops. Then card reader won't work and all the machines are down in this shop. So we went, right, we'll go somewhere else. So we've walked into the city centre. As we're walking in, we get about 12 people stop us asking for any spare change. Can you give me a quid? It's Leicester City Centre is terrible for it. I didn't realise how bad it was. We carry on to chicken shop. We've gone in. This one was £14. So he's really not happy now. So we've sat down, we've had the chicken. We're having a bit of a chat. We start walking back. As we're walking back, so there's me, Zach's gone, and Ryan. Ryan's on the left. We're chatting as we're going, and he clocks that on this side, there's a load of people asking for change. So he moves, right? So he moves from the left to the right. So they don't ask him, they're Zach, right? As he moves from the left to the right, someone cuts across him and farts. Like proper, like brrr, like massively. So Ryan's like, for God's sake, I move from there to there, and I get farted on. Half an hour earlier, he won a pro tour, and then he's eating fried chicken and getting farted on in the Leicester City Centre. People think darts is glamorous. That's that one. So we've gone back. We've gone back in. See Luke. We're having a bit of a chat. I tell him. Because he's like, I don't know where to go for some food. Because I'm just going Nando's again. Because I'm getting a bit fed up of Nando's. I said, right, go to Slim Chickens. I said, Slim Chickens is like a chain. Started off down south, starting to expand. Yeah. Amazing. It's as if they
better
smoke
KFC the chicken. In it. Way better than KFC.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. It's like they smoke the chicken before they fry it. And then there's sauces. They put things on the chips. I said, everything tastes unique to there. He goes, right, I'm going to go there tomorrow. So we're sat in there. Luke comes in and he goes, oh, brilliant. Yeah. fancy seeing you here. I'm like, I'd eat here every day. It's amazing. He has it. And he's like, oh my God, this is like the world's greatest meal. Like, this is the best chicken I've ever had. He's like, the sauces are incredible. The chips, he's going for it. Free refills on the drinks. And he's like, the danger is he's there next week for the Grand Prix. And it's over, the hotel is over the road from some chickens. So like, problem is I'm going to be in here every night now. I'm like, is that a problem? Like, this sounds fantastic. Like, that sounds amazing. So expect to see him in Slim Chickens every day next week. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then had some interesting chats with people. So Ryan Joyce, we had a good sort of half an hour talking about retro games and things. Said I can come up to his mansion in Newcastle. So he's got a whole room dedicated to retro gaming. He's got a room dedicated to Pokemon. He said we should go up with the cameras, go to his house and film something there. He's got a really good collection. Show me some photos and it's good. Then I had people. This is the welcome to the world of darts and professional sport, ladies and gentlemen, because back in the day, you could go to darts. I'm not going to name names, but you could buy some DVDs, if you know what I mean. You want a few DVDs, get some of them under the table. You know, you weren't Blockbusters back in the day. You buy your DVDs off the world elite. So, and that's still kind of in a couple of players. So I've gone in. Right?
Really?
Oh, I've gone in. You loved it. You will love this story. Gone in. Players come over to me. Right, Matt, seen your Facebook posts and things. See you do a bit of buying in the old retro games. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, he goes, well, do a bit of wheeling, dealing, a little bit of buying, selling. Goes, I've got some bags of Mega Drive games at home. I've put some games through the disc cleaners, got some PlayStation bits. If you want, I'll send you some pictures, you know. And I'm like, this was a conversation I didn't expect to have in 2025 on the Pro Tour. But yes, send me some pictures and I will be buying some PlayStation games and Mega Drive games from you. That's no problem at all. So there's still quite... Oh, if you... here's the other one, right? If you want some tropical fish, you can buy them off the Pro Tour. You know, players selling... tropical fish! Players selling... Not in the venue. Let me get this straight. This isn't in the venue.
Yeah.
These deals are to be concluded outside of the venue. If you want some tropical fish, Andy, I can hook you up. If you have some tropical fish.
What do you do? Turn up with your tank and go, can you just put some in there, mate? How'd you get them home? Tropical fish.
So, I won't peel the curtain back too much. But, yeah, I think anything you want, you can get it there. Your tropical fish, Andy, got you back. Got you back. Tropical fish for the garden. That'd be nice, won't it?
Mate, honestly, what on earth? Well, I mean, I thought it was bad in my... Do you know the weirdest thing with the chicken thing? The one tournament I won on the BDO was a doubles tournament with my mate Dave Place. Shout out to Dave. We went and had fried chicken to celebrate. It must be a thing. It's like when you've won fried chicken, why not? You know, but there was no Slim Chickens then.
Oh, what a place. But,
I'm not a Nando's fan, I've got to be honest, but I don't mind a bit of Slim Chickens.
I'm sure there's another Slim stories I could tell you, but I can't think of them off the top of my head now. Like, I'm sure there was a few other belters. Oh, here's one for you. That was just stupid.
You probably spoil it because our viewers probably thought that these players all go and have a nice salad or something.
Bring on.
Keep their body fresh for the next day and like a steak and salad or, you know, not chicken. Not fried chicken.
They think all the Pro Tour afterwards, they're all sat eating Chateaubriand. Oh, what a jolly good win that was. No, fried chicken, bit of wheeling, dealing, and tropical fish. That's tropical the reality. That's the reality of it.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear me. Right.
Professional sport in the world. But let's be real about it. With this... this isn't privately educated people riding round on a horse. You know, this is general working class people who went to the pub, played the sport and found they was good at it. And all of a sudden you're thrusting them into this professional world and you expect them to change. No, anyone a tropical fish for a fiver? Mate, you're playing for 150 grand this week. What are you on about? Yeah, about £5 for your tropical fish. 2 for 8. Like...
Oh dear, oh dear. It's funny that you Needless just said say, the word horse. Because there's four say, horses on
get some fish. Oh,
yeah. There's four horses on the wall behind you. You've just mentioned horse, and two horses just went down my street with people on the back. So there's something about horses today. Right. I've got a couple of rants and getting away from darts. Yeah, very good. Getting away from darts just for a minute. I want your opinion on this. I want to know what you would have done. Right?
I'd have bought some tropical fish.
So at the weekend, I've gone into Starbucks. Okay? You know I like coffee. So I've gone in and I've thought, oh, while I'm here, I'll get a panini. They do them mozzarella paninis. They're all right. They're quite, it's like a little mini pizza in a panini. So cappuccino, mozzarella panini. Off she go. You know what it's like, about 12 quid or something. You're like, Jesus Christ. So I've paid. I want to know what you would have done. I saw her, it makes a beep, beep. It's going beep, beep, beep. Right, so she's gone to get it out of the oven thing. They've got them super fast ovens. She goes in, puts the scoop in to get it out, and as she does get it out, she sneezes. So she's holding it in her hand. She's got a coffee in her other hand, so she's got nowhere spare. And she just goes, ah, it's you! Like, over everything. Then proceeds to bring it over and go, cappuccino and panini. What would you do?
I'd get changed.
I didn't know what to do. I felt bad for her because she didn't have a free hand. I was starving. And I just took it away and ate it.
No, oh, Andy.
I know, I did. And then afterwards I thought, why didn't you ask her to make a fresh one? And then I thought, I'm going to embarrass her by telling her that she shouldn't have sneezed all over everything. But then I'm not quite sure what she could have done.
Put it down.
So I actually, yeah, she could have put it down and sneezed, or she could have just gone, oh, I'll make you fresh. Or so I think she handled it wrong. And then I handled it wrong. But I just wondered what you would have done, whether you would have made it make it all again, wouldn't you?
I'm very picky, though, with food, aren't I? Like, I'm really yeah, oh bad. God,
yeah.
I'm really
oh,
bad.
Yeah. You've never met anybody. Like, I said, what vegetables do you eat? And you'll go, I only eat green vegetables. And I'll go, right, green beans. Oh, no, I don't like green beans. Peas. No, I don't like peas. Broccoli. Oh, I don't like broccoli. You just said green vegetables. Jesus, are there any? That is you in a tea, that, Matt. Like, how many vegetables do you actually eat? There's not many, is there?
So when I was younger, I couldn't eat anything if there was a fly in the room. Like, in a fly came in the room, that's it. Done. Can't eat them.
Oh.
And it got that bad that at one point I would only eat instant mashed potato. So I could separate it all on the plate so I could see there was nothing in it.
Smash.
Yeah, that's all I'd ever eat. So yeah, I got really bad. So yeah, I've got really bad. I could never eat outside. So I've got a really better with it. The fact that I can.
So you've
eat
got a lot better then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can actually take you out for a meal now, and you can get through it, especially with the Chateaubriand.
Yeah, I can sort of work my way through that now, which is good. But I've got a story for you then. Here's one for you, and this comes back to conversations we've had before about tipping culture.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
First of all, I've been reading a lot about tipping culture, certainly with Las Vegas, because I'm going back there again. And obviously my not leaving tips, we found out from our American friends on here, was something that was kind of frowned upon in America. It's slowly eking itself into England as well, and I don't like it. And I don't like it for a couple of reasons. One, our wage system's very different to how it is over there from the research I'm doing. They're not taxed on tips like they are in America, or preempted tips, even if you don't get them. So I get that. I don't like it when they put a service charge on, then ask for a tip as well. It's like double.
Oh, yeah. No, don't like that.
Get this one. Me and Tommy went to a Harvester. And yes, I'm going to name drop you Harvester because I thought it was pathetic of you to do this. Right? They've took us to the table because I can't just go pick my own table. I'm not mature enough to walk to a table. I need to be walked to the table. So I've been walked to the table, sat down. He goes, you got to scan the QR code to place your order. Okay, it's fine. So scan the QR code, done my order, paid for it through the app, which it asks me if I want to leave a tip. What, for ordering my own food on an app? I've got to leave you a tip now, do I? Yeah. And it doesn't, this is what I don't like. I don't like where it asks you if you'd like to leave one. It gives you that presumptive question. Like, how much would you like to tip? Would it be 5%, 10%, 15%? Custom, zero. Thank you very much. Like, I don't like it when it almost it asks it in that way. So that was the first bit. Sat there for 20 minutes waiting for my drink. I asked to ask in the end. I says, we've ordered, I've got no drinks. They bring me over an empty glass. I've got to go pour my own drink, right? So got the empty glass, gone over, poured my own drink. Dinner's come over. Oh, no, this is the other thing. Comes back. We both ordered the tomahawk. Comes back. Sorry, sir, we only got one tomahawk. Right, okay. I'll have that one then. Right. Mine ended up being £3.50 cheaper, the thing I ordered the second. So he goes, right, at the end, don't worry, I'll come back and we'll do a refund for the £3.50 for the difference between the two. Comes back. I said, actually, keep the £3.50. I think we're just going to have some desserts as well, so I'll just pay the extra for the desserts. Hands me the card reader. There it is again. How much would you like to tip? Tip! All you've done is bring me an empty glass I've had to pour myself. I've done the order myself. You got my order wrong. And now you're asking for the second time in this transaction for a tip. For doing what? Bringing my meal from there to there. Mm. Here's a tip, mate. Don't whistle with a mouthful of custard. How's that for you? Like,
yeah.
Get out of it. Unbelievable.
Mate, it's the so if you're shouting out, obviously I'm shouting out Booths. So around our way, you won't have them down south. I don't think it's a northern supermarket called Booths. And every time you go to pay, it says add to charity, yes or no. Hmm. And every time that the cashier cashes it, to that point she says, "Oh, just press the X." Like, she says that before it's even come up, because she must be sick of people going, "How do I press? How do I not?" Like, it doesn't even say what charity it is. It's just give to charity, a pound or 50p or whatever it is. If I want to give to charity, I'll give to charity. I don't need it on my card reader when I'm trying to pay for my shopping. And clearly, neither does anybody else, because the cashier is now even telling you what button to press, because she's that sick of people saying, "How do I not do it?"
Oh, it's better than that then, if you talk about that. So here's one. This is what we should do to stop that situation from happening. What we should do is we should say, right, when it comes to add to charity, don't tell you what charity. So I'll go, "Can you just tell me what charity this goes to, please? What work they'll stop doing it then, won't they? If I'm holding up the whole queue, because I'm just charity. What charity? What charity am I donating to here? Tell me something about this charity." So that'll stop it. But yeah, they're starting to take the mick now, aren't they, with a lot of these different bits. Yeah. This is the one that really got me again. Harvester, sort your rubbish out. So. There's a note on the table about providing homeless people meals at Christmas. Great initiative. But why am I having to pay the cost of everything included for this week? So it was something like, I think it was like £7 or £8 that you had to donate to get a homeless person a meal. Are you telling me that's costing you £8 to get some potatoes, some vegetables, and a bit of turkey? I'm paying you to make it. Why are you profiting off this initiative? Like, if you'd have said it's £2.50, great. But what they're doing is they're doing it to the point where they're going, "You buy the meal off us, we'll provide it to them, and we'll look great. Oh, we provided 2,000 meals." No, you charged me to pay you for it. Why is all that included? You know, why isn't it going, right, our staff, we're going to donate the time of our staff to cook the meals. We're going to donate our facilities to it. All you're going to pay for is the raw ingredients. It costs £2.50 to put a meal together. Every £2.50 you put in, you know, instead it's like, no, we want you to pay our staff's wages. You're going to pay us for the facilities. You're going to pay all this stuff. And then, that's not an initiative that your company's doing. That's collecting on behalf of the company. And then they're going to put on social media, and I might even respond to them when they go, "We've put out 10,000 meals." No, you haven't, pal. Me and every bugger else have done that. You've actually made money off this.
Right, a couple of rants this week. Things that have happened that I just made a note of. Wind me up. Right, washing your hands. Washing up. You're doing the washing up and you've got a hoodie on or some other form of long sleeves. No matter how much you put them over your arm, they always get wet. And it drives me mad because then you're walking around with wet cuffs on your hoodie or your sleeves or whatever. Oh, it's like in pop. Yeah, well, yeah, but that'd be sensible. That'd be sensible, Matt. That'd be sensible. And then the thing that wound me up last night, I was so tired last night. Busy day precisions and all the rest of it, but been a busy week, hasn't it, for everybody concerned. I get in bed last night. I've got in the most comfiest position I think I've ever been. I'm like, oh, Christ, I haven't brushed my teeth. And I swear to, I'm now the most comfy I've ever been. And I've now got a dilemma. Do I just fall asleep in this heavenly position that I'm in? But I can't. This voice in my head's going, brush your teeth. You need to go and brush your teeth. Go and brush my teeth. Get back in bed. Can't get comfy. I was so comfy before. Why is that a thing? Why can you be so comfy, but you can never get back in that position? You look comfy there now. You're in a big chair.
Yeah, I needed to, really. I've got a bit of a sore neck, actually. Maybe I haven't been comfy over the last couple of days. Here's one for you, then, right? Have you ever noticed that when you stay in a hotel, like when I stay at home, if I have Special K, Cocoa Pops, Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes, that's considered my breakfast. When I'm in a hotel, if I have Special K, Cocoa Pops, or Honey Nut Corn Flakes, that's considered a starter.
I've had this conversation before. The lad's like, you're not having anything. Well, no, I've had my breakfast. You put what about the bacon, eggs, sausage, and then there's the fruit and yogurt.
Only in a hotel, right. Though.
You're absolutely right, Matt. You are so right. A bowl of cereal at home, right? I'm done now. Good till lunch now. You go and stay, don't you? That's the first of three courses that you're now having for breakfast.
Three course breakfast, yeah.
I love that. That is so true. That is absolutely so true. Did you go out for any nice meals while you're away, or was it just Slim Chickens every night? Did you go for any nice bit of steak or not?
On day one, we had fried chicken. On day two, we had fried chicken from a different establishment. And on day three, we had fried chicken.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, is what dark players do on tour. Bearing in mind, Matt wasn't even playing. He's just associating with the players. Does anybody ever say, can you imagine this? So let's do the scenario now. You've all finished at the end of the day. There's you, Luke, Ryan. What would your reaction be if one of them said, I've seen this lovely restaurant up the road. They do the most phenomenal pork medallions and the white wine in there is incredible. If one of them said that.
Why do you think he didn't fit in on tour?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Ooh, yeah, I'm not sure
that anchovies on toast. No, I'm going to have that 2-pound sausage sandwich, mate, after I've had my Cocoa Pops.
It's just, I do recall occasionally going for a nice meal on tour, but it was, which is weird. It's weird that it was so much fast food because most of the time you're finished at 4 o'clock. It's not like you're in a rush. You're done. Go back, get changed, and let's go somewhere nice. Why do we have to go to Slim Chickens or Burger King? Or why can't it be somewhere, you know?
So here's one for you. When the darts are in town, if you ever want to see anyone, just go to the local all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
You'll find everyone in there.
Or the all-you-can-eat. Have you ever been to one that's all-you-can-drink as well?
Yes, there's one in Hildesheim. So it's €35. You get 2 hours, all-you-can-eat and drink, including your alcohol.
Oh,
so if you wanted a few beers, then So you can imagine everyone's like, oh, quick, get done with this.
Yeah. Talking of which, I think it's been, I've seen a lot of videos of Oktoberfest in Munich. Quite fancy the look of that. You're not really a beer drinker, are you? But I quite fancy the look of that. Get in the comments, anybody that's been to that. I've always fancied going. And you mentioned Vegas before, Matt. There's a lot of talk online that half the hotels are empty in Vegas. Like, so maybe you'll get a deal when you go. Maybe it'll be cheaper.
I mean, there's a lot of tourism drop in Las Vegas at the moment, and a lot of the tourism drops down to, I think, costs, the tipping culture, the facility charges that they do. Paid for your hotel, but now if you want to use the pool, you got to pay 20 quid a day. Oh, I don't want to use the pool, though. Well, you still got to pay 20 quid a day.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and by the way, would you like to give us a tip? You're going to charge 20 quid a day for a pool I'm not going to use, and you want me to tip you for that? Like, please go away. Like,
I don't mind tipping for food in America, because especially breakfast, when they're like, as soon as your coffee's half, do you want to like some more coffee? Yes, they're there instantly. I don't mind paying for that, because it is good service. And I think that's potentially why, as Brits, we're not used to that, because we're not used to good service. We're just not. I dread to think what American people think of our service over here. When they, like you say, you're experiencing Harvester. If an American experienced that, they would be like, this can't be real. Talking of our American viewers, by the way, I'm sure they're all crying in their coffee as we won the Ryder Cup last weekend, which was my exciting weekend. You probably don't even know what that is, but yeah, we won that. Yeah, it's a golf thing. So what are you on this week? Are you on anything now, or is that you done for the next couple of weeks?
So I'm nearly ready to start winding down for Christmas now. So I've got Modus next week. I've got 3 days of commentary there. Then that's me done for commentary on Modus for the year.
Is that on at the same time as the Grand Prix?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So
you be practicing? I'm sure you play this month.
I've actually started throwing a little bit now. So I've got 3 days in Modus. Then we've got 2 days together filming.
Yes.
Then we've got 2 days the week after with our players. Then I'm playing that next week. Then after I've played that week, I'm going to Budapest for 4 days. That's it then. I'm working from home then till Christmas.
Well, yeah, but I think I've got 5 filming dates in between now and Christmas with you. So our viewers can expect lots and lots of content coming on YouTube. Oh, incidentally, Rate My Throw Series 2 will be coming up soon. We've started doing the filming and the editing of that. So those of you that enjoyed Rate My Throw, that will be in the near future, shall we say, Matt?
Yeah.
And the bad news, got a bit of bad news. The board has been delayed by, I think, 10 days. So where the Samurai 4, I've been going on about forever and ever with the White Spider, and everybody saw it on TikTok this week. It's now, I think, end of October. Sorry about that, guys. Beyond our control. These things happen once a boat hits the water, these things happen. So I think it's now end of October for your Samurai 4s. So we should do a prediction. This is going out the day before the Grand Prix. So I want winner and outsider. And I'm not going to pick Chizzy because he's not in it. I found out.
I think the obvious answer always is go with Luke Littler for the win. That seems to be the logical answer all the time. He's in the bottom half of the draw. He's got a tough section. He's going to have to go through everybody. He's going to have to literally go through everybody if he's going to pull that off. I wouldn't be surprised to see Humphreys go out early. He's got Nathan Aspinall in the opening round.
That's tough. That's a tough first game.
Short format, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. So, but do you know what?
Littler's got Van Veen. Oh, my, that's horrid.
But the Grand Prix is the most unpredictable tournament going. Who would have predicted Mike Dedeka last year? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Anyone who predicted Mike Dedeka, you earn every single penny you won from that. You know, that's not a prediction many people were making. And, you know, it's one of those that as it gets into the meat of it, it makes more sense. But early on, we'll get some surprises. And with what we talked about before, the exposure and the overexposure of players now, what would be classed as a surprise? Because actually you go through it and you go, well, that could go that way, that. And a short format game, double start, double finish. I'm going to go with Littler, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he lost first round. Van Veen beat Humphreys in the first round of the match play, which was a longer format. Of course he can beat Littler. He's beat him on the European Tour stage a few times already.
So I'm going to pick Price. So you're going Littler, I'm going Price.
Have you seen the section Price in?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, yeah. Yeah, he's got Ryan Searle first game, I think, and then he's got Rock or Ryan Joyce. It's tough, but he's a brilliant top setter. So I'm going to go Price. And my outsider is going to be Ross Smith.
I'm just going to pull up the odds at the moment, just because I don't know what's classed as an outsider these days.
Well, so, I was kind of thinking somebody outside the top 10. That was my...
So I'm going to have a look. I'm looking at I think the odds will give me a rough indication. So Ross Smith, 40 to 1. Okay.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Peter Wright at 125s is a weird look, isn't it? Especially when he's got players like Gildin, Ratajski, and Barneveld behind him. I'd make Wright the biggest outsider.
He's got Mike Decker first round. I think Mike Decker does him. No problem. Defending champ.
Ooh, Dobie's interesting. Nyman's interesting.
Yeah, Nyman's is got cross, isn't it? It's. Do you know what? Would you agree if I said this is the most open Grand Prix I've ever seen?
No.
No.
I think that's a narrative that's spun quite a lot. And I think the issue is next year, say the same. And the year after, say the same. And the year after, say the same. And the reason that's the case is because you see these players all the time on Pro Tour, European Tour. You're so familiar with them. So when you look at a player like Nico Springer, if you would have said a few years ago, Nico Springer's been on tour 8 months, he's got himself in the World Grand Prix, you'd go, oh, back against him. Where now you go, well, actually, he could win. He's won a European Tour. He got to a final. He's done the pro. You know all about him. You've seen him play. You go, oh, we can beat the players because this year he's already beat Gerwyn Price. He's already beat this guy. So you already know all about them. You know, and every single one of these players, you've seen them on streaming, on various events. So, like, there's nothing there that would catch you out. I think it might. Of players rather than
I'm gonna have you a friendly £5 cash bet now, and I'm gonna give you the choice. You can either have you can choose three players to win it, or you can have the rest of the field. So no, you can either pick three and I get the rest of the field, or you make me pick three and you get the rest of the field. Which would you like?
Oh, I'll take the three.
Okay. Which three would you like?
So, for convenience, I'm going to go with the two Lukes. So, I get the top seed in both after the draw, even though I think Luke could go out first round. So, I'll take those two on either side. And my extra one, I'm going to go with. Do you know what? I think Michael van Gerwen could be due a bit of a run somewhere. So I'll go with MVG, which, by the way, I saw a comment on here, actually. Must have been Dave with his orange squash again. He put on there, Matt got it wrong. Michael van Gerwen's winter. I never said Michael van Gerwen wouldn't win anything. I said Michael van Gerwen wouldn't be dominant. There's a difference. There's a difference. I said Michael van Gerwen will not get back to being world number one. Winning an unranked event on a broadcast doesn't mean Michael van Gerwen is a dominant force.
Right. We're going to time stamp this now. 54 minutes. You've got Luke Littler, Luke Humphreys, and Michael van Gerwen. I have got every other player for a fiver. Get in the comments. Would you rather be Andy or you'd rather have Matt's picks? And let's see what our viewers think. there, because I think this is wide open. I think there's 16 players in it that could win it this year, which means I've got 13 and you've only got 3. So I'm quite happy with that bet.
Oh, parcel coming down the thing.
You can see a parcel coming down the drive. Well, on that note, then, I'll leave you to it, Matt, to go and get your parcel. By the time this goes out, it's Grand Prix tomorrow. Enjoy the Grand Prix, guys. We'll be back with you next week with episode 61.